Blog Talk Radio.
Babe, my weed, please. Put it over there. Thanks. Advantage Taylor, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
okay.
You.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've had some technical difficulties. I'm in Kingston, Jamaica, and we had a crossover, and they didn't recognize my ID. But we now have Advantage Janet Taylor will bring the word of God. We have an hour and 45 minutes for her. If she needs another time to do this, we will give her another slot as to her choice. Without further ado, Evangelist Janet Taylor.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil is defeated, and God has given us the victory. So here we are coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry. I am your hostess, Evangelist Janet Taylor, and we are going to get right into this word. Let me tell you how to sow into this ministry. If you are led of the Spirit, you can sow through PayPal or through Zelle. And the ID is JET245@msn.com. You can contact us by phone, area code 336-830-0601, or you can email us again at JET245@msn.com. You can find us and submit a prayer request at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. I would like to invite you to join us Monday through Saturday for the sweet hour of prayer from 12 noon to 1 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, and Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number for the prayer line is 425-436-6333, and the access code is 716-5050. Again, that phone number is 425-436-6333. And the access code is 716-5050, followed by the pound sign. So what we're going to do is we're going to go right on into this message. And God has just been ministering to me concerning this. And so I'm just going to give it to you like the Holy Spirit has given it to me. Now, tonight's message is America is in trouble. America is in trouble. I have shared this message before, but when God takes me back to something, I know that he is talking loud. In other words, God is telling me to blow the trumpet tonight. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. So I'm doing what he has instructed me to do. So those of you that have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 46. I'm going to read all 11 verses. And I just want you to, there's a lot of scripture that's going to come forth tonight. So I pray that you would take notes and take heed. Take heed and take notes to tonight's message. So our scripture begins at Psalm 46, verses, we're going to start at the first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Glory be to God. Come, let us behold the works of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. What desolations he has made in the earth. Glory be to God. He maketh wars to cease until the end of the earth. And he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. I thank the Lord for this scripture tonight. The Lord of hosts is with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But I want to talk to you from the subject, America is in trouble. Now, the very first verse tells us that God is our refuge. So if you're going to run somewhere, you run to the Lord. He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And we see that America is in trouble. God is not pleased with this nation. Glory be to God. I believe that we are under judgment at this current time. I am certain that the churches in America are under judgment. And we are about to see and feel and experience the hand of God and the judgment of God in a way that we've never seen it before in this nation. America has always been blessed to the extent that there was no fatalities, no wars, no major catastrophe. None of these things have happened. However, little things have been happening gradually. We saw the Hurricane Katrina, the devastation of that hurricane. And then we saw, 9/11, how America was warned through that. But we have not been taking heed to the warnings. Now, God always sends a prophet to warn a nation. And although there are many lying prophets in this nation, because the people have itching ears, and so these lying prophets have come on the scene in the last 30 or 40 years and began to tell the people things that God said that God did not say. They began to seduce the people and lure them away from God, preaching messages like the prosperity gospel, which is not a gospel, and preaching money cometh and it's your breakthrough and living your best life now. These things are not biblical, and you can't find them in the scripture, but these false prophets have come in and preached these lies in our churches instead of preaching holiness and righteousness, because the word of God says, holiness without, no man shall see the Lord. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that have clean hands and a pure heart? So the pastors and the preachers have not preached righteousness and holiness and purity and sanctification and taught on consecration, consecrating ourselves unto the Lord. Said they have lured the people away from the teachings of the Bible to a false gospel. They've been preaching a false gospel Paul said, if anybody preach another gospel, let him be accursed. And this is exactly what they are doing in this hour, preaching another gospel. Not the gospel of the Bible, but another gospel. They've also been preaching another Jesus, that Jesus don't want you to suffer. The word of the Lord says, if you suffer with him, we will also reign with him. That's 2 Timothy 2 and 12. So nowhere in the scripture will we find a Christian life without suffering. Christ said, all who shall live godly will suffer persecution. So these liars have come in and preached these lies, and they have been like the Pied Piper. They have piped, and the people are dancing to their music. But let me tell you something. The music that they have been creating, this false gospel, is nothing but lies. It, as a matter of fact, even built on anything. It doesn't even have a foundation. And these people have preached these lies to the church, and the church have bought it hook, line, and sinker. And the reason is because they have itching ears. This is what they want to hear. For the scripture says the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear come out from among them. They don't want to hear be ye separate. The people no longer want to hear holiness, messages on holiness and righteousness. They just want somebody to tell them all your bills are going to be paid. I see a tall, dark man. The check is on the way. They just want somebody to tell them these lies. And so because this has been going on in the house of God, judgment will begin at the house of God. Hallelujah. And we can see that it's unfolding right before our very eyes. Some of the biggest named pastors right now are shaking and trembling in their boots because their names have been making the news. And the allegations, I will say, are very, very bad. And so we're going to have to see how this plays out. But I can tell you one thing, that God is starting at the church. The judgment will begin at the house of God. And the leaders who are not preaching holiness and righteousness, who are preaching about prosperity and getting your breakthrough, those leaders are going to be judged. You know, several of the preachers, they're not even preachers anymore. They are now motivational speakers. Even the world sends for them, and they go into these corporations, these Fortune 500 businesses, and they will do some motivational speaking there. And I'm telling you tonight, I am not a motivational speaker. I am a preacher called by God, and I'm not going to change the message of God. I don't care who is in the audience. I'm going to preach what God said preach. I wouldn't care if the King of England was sitting in the audience tonight. I'm going to preach the word of God as God has given it to me. And God says that America is under judgment. Now, for some people, I will say this. What we see unfolding in the next few months is going to cause some, not all, but some to repent. They're going to fall on their knees when these things start unfolding and people see, hey, God is nothing to play with, and God, the wrath of God, you really don't want to come under the wrath of God. We saw what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah when the people just lived so wickedly, so wickedly. God sent down an angel and got his people out of there, and then he let fire fall from heaven and burn up those two cities, because God's way is the right way, and God will not be mocked. You're not going to shake your fist in God's face as if God has to listen to a man. The Bible tells us that God has highly exalted Jesus. He has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so just prepare yourself. Get ready for the shaking. That's what's about to happen. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a major shaking. Glory be to God. Hebrews 12 tells us everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. So get ready. Prepare yourself. Prepare, get your house in order. Prepare yourself for the shaking, because America is in trouble. Now, as I said, some people are going to repent when they begin to see what's happening. Glory be to God. And then God says he will help us when we repent. Glory be to God, because God is our refuge and our strength. And it is not the Lord's will any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But people are hard-hearted today. There's so much wickedness and violence and corruption in our land. People are hard-hearted to the gospel. First of all, they don't want to hear the gospel. You got others who don't believe the gospel. And then you have those who just say, I'm just going to do what I want to do anyway. In other words, they're like Frank Sinatra. They said, I'm going to do it my way. Well, that's not going to work, because God is sovereign. God is in control. And it's whatever God says, that's what's going to happen. Glory be to God. You know, man tends to think, especially in this age that we're living in with artificial intelligence, transhumanism, transgenderism, all of this stuff that they are, so to speak, inventing today, that man is going to be safe from God. But where can man go to hide from God? David said, if I go to the end of the earth, God is there. If I make my bed in hell, he is there. In other words, you're not going to be able to go anywhere to get away from God. So you can try to X out his word. You can try to erase his law from your heart. But I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day, you will still have to stand before this holy God that we serve. So God will help us when we repent. Whenever Israel repented of their sins, God forgave them and he helped them. You see, God, here's the whole problem in a nutshell: idolatry. And God hates idols. God hates idols. He hates them. We have created idols out of preachers. We have also brought these idols from the world into the church. And we're bringing in secular artists now and other unsaved men and women to entertain us. Comedians are now coming into the church instead of preaching the gospel. They have these comedians saying the church, you know, we need to laugh. And we as a people, there is nothing to laugh about. There's nothing funny about hell. People are dying and going to hell every day. There's nothing funny about that. We are in the worst shape as a nation that we have been in. And I'm telling you something. If we don't repent, it is only going to get worse. And God is going to deal with us as a nation. He's going to deal with us corporately, even as a body of believers. And God is going to deal with individuals. Glory be to God. There's going to be exposure like never before. People are going to be completely butt naked in front of the entire world, because God sent the prophets, God sent the word, God sent warning, and they would not heed. He said in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. So we have brought the unclean thing into the house of God. I looked at something from New Year's Day, and the people were dancing. They were walking it out in the house of God. I looked up the lyrics to that song, such an ungodly song, but the pastor said that God had told him to play that, and the people going to walk out of 2023 into 2024. But God never said such a thing because, first of all, the word of God is not entertainment. It's not to make us dance and carry on. They were carrying on like they were in the club. They were not worshiping God. They were, hey, entertaining themselves. They were partying hard and throwing down. God was not in that. And then the pastor, he had the nerve to say that the Lord said by the end of 2024, they're going to have three houses with their name on it. And the people, they just ate that up. That is not prophecy. That is prophelying 101. And he deceived those people. I'd like to see them at the end of 2024 when they don't have the three houses with their names on it. I'd just like to see their faces. They're going to know he's a false prophet. But then what he'll do is he'll make up another proper lie and tell them something even different or even greater and make them forget the lie that he told them this year. And it's just going to be a vicious cycle. But God is not to be toyed with or trifled with. We have brought the unclean thing into the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something. The glory has departed from the temple. God has left. God, there are so many churches where the Spirit of the Lord is not even there. And the Lord spoke to me on April the 13th, 2020. And he said to me, many of the churches I am shutting down because they have idols and false fire on the altar. See, we thought the government was shutting down the churches and that the government had put a muzzle on the ox that treaded out the corn. But the government was not responsible for the shutting down of the churches. The Lord was. He just used the government to carry out this assignment. And many of these churches will never reopen. They had no power. They had no word. They had no faith. They had no prophecy. And do you know what? I found out that some of them shut down their churches and allowed them to be vaccination centers. They became vaccination centers. Now, what kind of sense did that make? You can't come to church and worship, but you can open up your church and make it a vaccination center. And you know why they did it? They took filthy lucre from the government. They got paid to do it. Some of them got much as $25,000 to let the government come in and use their church as a vaccination center. All I can say is shame on you. Shame on these pastors that took this money. You know, the Bible tells us that money is the root of all evil, and many have pierced themselves through with great sorrow because of it. And I'm telling you, we're seeing it. It's happening right before our very eyes. Like Israel, we are looking to a man to save America, but no man. Did you hear me? I said no man. Not Donald Trump, not Joe Biden, not any man. None of these candidates can save this nation. What is it going to take? It's going to take repentance. The word of God says, if my people, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will forgive them. I will heal their land. But see, it's not going to happen until we fall on our knees and repent. Repent before the Lord for what we have done and what we have allowed to come in God's house. Glory be to God. This the glory has already departed. It is the spirit of Ichabod in the church. And so people now are looking to men. They think this one, he can make America great again. They think this other one, he can do it. I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump is not the great white hope. The only hope that America has is Jesus Christ. America, if we don't repent and turn to Jesus Christ, we as a nation are doomed. It's just as plain can be. We either repent or this nation is going to cease to exist. All right. When Israel was in trouble, they looked to a man. They were warned that the Babylonians were coming. Nebuchadnezzar was on his way. Instead of King Zedekiah repenting, the prophet Jeremiah went to him and told him exactly what was going to happen. Instead of Zedekiah humbling himself and repenting and leading the nation in repentance, you know what he did? He just kept saying, I can't be a slave. I can't be a slave. He didn't even know he was already a slave. Instead of him leading the nation to God through repentance, he sent for Egypt. He reached out to Egypt to come and help them. And Egypt was on their way to come and help them. But God caused Egypt to turn back. Egypt turned around and went back to Egypt. So when they saw that our help, who we thought was going to help us, turned away and went back, that's when Zedekiah knew, oh, it's a wrap. It's over. You see, our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is our very present help in trouble. We cannot look to a man to bring us out of this mess. Glory be to God. As a matter of fact, let's keep it 100. Let's keep it real. It is man that got us in this mess. So why would we trust in a man to bring us out of this? Psalm 20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord. America's in trouble because America has forgotten God. That's why we're in trouble. We have forgotten God. I want to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and read to you what the word of God says. Hallelujah. This is what the scripture says. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. And it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, nor vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty, mighty hand. He delivered them in the midst of the Red Sea. The children of Israel came through on dry land. Then the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his army, tried to come in behind them. God had opened the sea, children of Israel, to walk through. So Pharaoh, he thought, okay, we can go on behind them. And God closed up the sea. And the Bible says the horse and his rider were drowned. God drowned Pharaoh and his army that day in the Red Sea. Glory be to God. You see, the word of the Lord had already been prophesied. This enemy that you see today, you will see him again no more forever. So Israel came through on dry ground. The same Red Sea Pharaoh tried to go through, and he and his army drowned. So God had done a mighty, mighty, mighty miracle right before their very eyes. Nobody had ever seen anything like that, because nothing had ever been done like that before. So God brought them through the wilderness. And as he began to bring them through the wilderness, you know, they did all sorts of things. They made the golden calf, and, you know, they were just trouble. I'm telling you, they just were a piece of work the entire journey. And God even had to let those that were a certain age die out in the wilderness. God let snakes bite them, all kinds of things, because of their disobedience and their unbelief, sin, unbelief. And so God decided, okay, the younger group, he brought them on through. He let the older ones die out, because how many of you know it's easy to take the man out of Egypt? It's hard to get the Egypt out of the man. So God brought them through all of that. And so he let a certain age group, he let them die out. He's going to bring in the next generation. So God brought them into the promised land that he had promised them, because God is not a man that he should lie. So he's bringing them in, but he gives them a strict warning. He said, after you have eaten and are full, don't forget God. Don't forget the one who made all this possible. Don't forget the one who brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Don't forget the one who blessed you, who didn't let your shoes wear out, who kept you, who brought you through every trial, every temptation, every test. When the enemy came against you like a flood, the Lord lift up a standard against the enemy. Don't forget the one who raised you up off your sick bed. Don't forget the one who helped your children graduate from high school so that they could go on to college. Don't forget God. When the doctor shook their head and walked away and said there was nothing else they could do for you, don't forget God. Don't forget the God that blessed you with the house and the car and the land. Don't forget the God who did all of that when your God, you know, some people, they get selective amnesia. They forget who it is that have done all this for you. And so they take off. And they began to want to be with another group. They want to serve another God, a God whom they have not known, not the God that was there with them when they was nothing and had nothing and couldn't get nothing. Don't forget God. So he said to them, don't forget me when you come into the land after you have eaten all the fruit and vegetables and you have prospered and you are blessed. He said, don't forget me. And guess what? That's exactly what they did. And that is what America has done. America has forgotten the God that brought them out of England, that brought them all this long way and took care of them, brought them to this land, made this land great, prospered it, gave them houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, trees that they didn't plant, gave them all of this already here when they got here. They didn't have to do anything. But guess what? They got comfortable. They got comfortable. And I want to say this right now. I want to say this about black people. We have a nerve to say that we don't believe in God. How dare you? How dare you? After 400 years of slavery, the only one that brought us through, that, don't you know that should have wiped us out? After all of that, all of the beatings, all of the lynchings, all that we have been through, having the dogs put on us, water hose, all sorts of things. And yet we are people who have still survived. We've come through the worst and still survived. Why? Because the hand of God was upon us. And now we get to where we can buy houses and we can and drive cars and we got a PhD or three letters behind our name. And now we're so high and lifted up, highfalutin, that we say, I don't believe in that. How dare you? How dare you as a people who have been so marginalized, so mistreated, beaten and bruised, raped, all sorts of things have been done to us as a people, and you have the nerve to say you don't believe in God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And this is why America is in trouble, because we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God, the God of our salvation, who is the lover of our soul. When Israel went to Egypt for help, they got destroyed. They did not look to the Lord. They looked to another nation. And God allowed the Babylonians to destroy them and take them into captivity in Babylon. Now, the Bible says, let us look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We're not looking at Jesus. We're looking at the money we got in the bank. We're looking at our 401k. We're looking at what we've invested on the stock market. And, you know, I'm going to say something about that. I don't know why black people would invest in the stock market. Why would you put your money in something that, you know, we've been tricked and deceived all our life? You put your money in the bag with me, and we're going to have this. And then the next thing you know, the bag is missing. And ain't nothing you can do. Ain't nothing you can say. Why would you fall for that foolishness? But then when it comes to giving money to a true prophet of God or a true woman of God, oh, you don't want to sow nothing. But you got all this money, and you got all these things. You know what the Lord told me one day about that? He said, there are people who are saving money for a rainy day, they don't even know if they're going to live to see it. Because first of all, you can't take it with you. I've never seen a hearse being followed by a U-Haul. Never in my life. It's not going to happen. When you leave here, it's from ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Whatever you had, somebody else is going to get it. And the Bible says who, you don't even know if a fool is going to get your stuff. 9 times out of 10, that's what's going to happen, because we have a generation that say they don't believe in God. And the Bible said the fool says in his heart there is no God. All right, so we need to look to the Lord. America is full of idolatry, full of iniquity in high places. There are secret sins all in the church. And I'm going to tell you something. 2024 is going to be a year of trouble. It's going to be full of trouble. Men will be so afraid. First of all, they're going to be afraid that they're going to be exposed. And then they're going to be afraid of their own shadow. They're going to be afraid. Hallelujah. Let's look to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 will give us an idea of what this year is going to be like. Matthew 24, starting at verse 4. And this is what it says. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. One of the characteristics of this year is deception. Glory be to God. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We already hear about these wars. Wars and rumors of wars. But he says, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things, what must come to pass? So I'm not saying it's the end. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying America is in trouble, because that's what I hear God. He said this nation is in trouble. We have been found wanting. Glory be to God. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Let me tell you something. Right now, the FDA has approved the sale of fake meat. What is fake meat? It is meat that has been grown and genetically modified in a laboratory. So now they want to tell you that it's real, because they said, well, we took the cells from a cow or a chicken or whatever, goat or something, and we just genetically modified it in a petri dish, and it multiplied. And so from this, we grew this lab-grown meat. That is unnatural. That is unnatural. And I wouldn't put it in my body. But you know what? Some people are going to say, well, I got to feed my family. The Lord understands I got to feed my family. Well, you go ahead and eat that. You go ahead and eat that, and we'll see what the end going to be. But as for me, I'm not putting it in my mouth. And so in a restaurant, you have the right to ask them, is the meat that you're about to order off that menu, you have the right to ask them, is this real meat or is it lab-grown meat? And they have to tell you. They have to answer that question if you ask them. But look at the people that don't know about this and that are just eating it. And I saw pictures of it. They tried to make the chicken. It started over in China, and they tried to make the chicken look like real chicken. And they say it is real chicken. It was just grown in a petri dish. I don't care. I'm not eating it. Now, you can eat it all you want to, but I'm not going to eat. Glory be to God. So they're saying, oh, there's a famine. There's a shortage, a food shortage. God ain't never had a shortage of nothing, absolutely nothing. There is no lack in the kingdom. Glory be to God. So that's another lie. That's another lie. This is a way to reduce the population, because people who eat that stuff, they're going to get sick. First of all, the human body is going to reject it because it knows it's not real, not fit for human consumption. But somehow the FDA has already approved it. Now, what do you think of that? So we see all this going on, famine, pestilence. Well, we just came through COVID-19, and now I'm hearing there are earthquakes. Earthquakes supposed to be happening all over the United States. And we're getting ready to have a solar eclipse. I've done research on this, a solar eclipse in the United States, unlike any eclipse ever before. Now, there was one in 2017, and it made a pathway across the United States from the West Coast over to the East Coast. Well, now this one is coming from the East Coast over to the West Coast, and the two pathways, from the one from 2017 and the one from 2024, actually make an X across the United States. I'm telling you, God is talking to this nation. And you can pay attention or not pay attention, but there are signs all around us that America is in trouble. America is full of idolatry. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 11, I think 11 through 13. This was right before the flood. And this is what the Lord said. The earth was, Genesis 6, verses 11 through 13. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So this is what led to the flood. This is why God destroyed the earth one time by water. But he has promised, and he put his rainbow in the sky. He has promised never to destroy the earth again by water. He said, this time by fire. Glory be to God. So the earth will be destroyed. But I want to talk to you about the conditions, because the exact same conditions that we find in Genesis chapter 6 that existed before the flood, those exact same conditions exist today. The corruption, the earth being filled with violence, all of that is taking place right now. God said that all flesh was corrupt. And God decided to destroy the earth because of the corruption and the violence. And it's a parallel. It's an exact parallel. We have the corruption. We have the sex slave trade, the child trafficking industry, the pedophilia, the pornography. Children are being mutilated. Their little bodies are being mutilated. Young children, young as 3 and 4 years old, are being raped and sold into slavery. This is horrific. This is horrific. Babies are being murdered even before they can come out the womb. This is horrific. And God is not pleased. He said the blood of the innocent cry out from the ground. So we cannot pretend that we don't know what's going on when this judgment comes upon this nation. We cannot pretend, well, why would God do this to us? Why would he allow this? We brought these things upon ourselves. God gave us all free will. We have a choice to make daily whether to obey God or reject his word. But the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. It is better to obey God. You know what? If we live according to the word of God, do you know you will have a blessed life? He said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you, plans to do you good and not hurt. That's Jeremiah 29:11. But we are not interested in God's plan because we think we got a better plan. And the only thing that we can do is just mess things up. And that is exactly what we have done. All of these secret sins in our nation, men will be so afraid of the lawlessness. The lawlessness will bring the fear. And it's going to be on every side. There are 3 things that has defiled this land: the wickedness, the violence, and the corruption. It is the exact same as in the days of Noah. And these will be the days of lamentation and woe. God has raised up prophetic voices, and they cry loud and spare not. But you know what? They have been sent to warn the people, but the people don't want to hear because they are no longer have an appetite for sound doctrine. And so what God says, it does not matter. He said to the prophet Ezekiel, I'm sending you to these people. They are stiff-necked and rebellious. They will not hear you. But he said, you just tell them what I said anyway. He said, because if you warn them and tell them what I said, and they receive it and they repent, he said, then, that's good. He said, but if you don't tell them what I said, he said, then their blood will be on your hands. And I'm telling you right now, nobody's blood is going to be on my hands. I'm going to tell you what thus saith the Lord. I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm going to tell you what God said, and I will still eat your fried chicken. I'm going to tell you what he is saying. It's written in his word, and I'm going to declare it. I'm going to cry loud and spare not. So the prophets, the true prophets of today, are going to come with a warning to warn this nation of what's coming, to warn this nation of the judgment that is upon us. It's time to blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. We got to cry loud and spare not. We got to warn the people about their sins, both nationally and individually. These are perilous times. Let's look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start at the first verse. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. So we said, well, what are perilous times? The word perilous means danger, dangerous. All right? So we are going to get an accurate description of what will characterize these perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Never in my life have I seen a more truer statement. We are seeing people who are so enamored with themselves. Glory be to God. They are covetous. They are boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, I was working with some young children last night, and I was helping to pass out the drinks. And you would not believe the number of children I had to prompt them to say thank you. I had to say you're welcome, and then they looked and they said, oh, thank you. There were only maybe one or two who said thank you of their own accord. The rest of them, they are unthankful, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. There's so much homosexuality, lesbianism today. It is unbelievable. And, you know, you can tell that the enemy is working here because the women, when they get a partner, they go and get a woman that looks like a man. Now, that is insane in itself. If you want a man, go get a man. You don't have to go and get a woman that looks like a man. The same with the men. The men are going to find other men that look like a woman. Why? When you can get a real woman. That means the spirit of deception is working. And I'm going to tell you something. The whole homosexual agenda is the spirit. It is the precursor for the spirit of Antichrist. It's the Antichrist spirit. It's getting things ready for the man of lawless to come on the scene, because the Bible says he will not have need for the use of a woman. So we know, we see this stuff unfolding. It's all up in the White House, and people are so proud of it. Oh, they say, oh, so-and-so, he announced today that he was gay. He's coming out. He's coming out. When I was growing up, these were things, but we were ashamed of things. But not today. Everybody's proud. They have it. Gay pride. I'm going to tell you something. America's under judgment. That's all I'm going to say. America's under judgment. These are the days for lamentation and woe. And God have raised up the prophetic voices to warn the people. They are perilous times. And guess what? They are here now. The spirit of Antichrist, I preached that a week ago. The spirit of Antichrist, I didn't say the Antichrist was here. I said the spirit of Antichrist is here now. All right, the scripture says they are without natural affection, accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women captive, laden with sin, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know, they're saying if you get a good education, you're going to be successful. That's not true. Having a good education does not mean you will be a success in life. Let me tell you what it means to be a success in life. To be a success in life is to be born again. And whether you are rich or poor, you are success. You are a success. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have lived successfully. Your life is a success. But if you don't know Jesus Christ in the free pardoning of your sins, I don't care if you got $1 million. I don't care if you're a philanthropist and you give to the poor and you give this and you even give your body to be burned. You are hell bound. You are hell bound. So the judgment is already upon us. Now, perilous times are here now. The ministers and the priests must weep between the porch and the altar. They must intercede on behalf of this nation. And there is nowhere to hide. Destruction is coming. And I'm telling you, there's nowhere to hide. Playtime is over. The only place that you will find safety is in the secret place. And the secret place is your prayer closet. This is the hour of prayer. We need to be praying like never before. The scripture says pray without ceasing. And those who don't pray, they're not going to make it. If you don't have a prayer life, you're not going to make it. Because when these things begin to unfold, when it begins to happen, it's going to happen in rapid succession. So before you can shake out of one thing, something else will already be upon us. Before you can catch your breath from the first thing, the next thing will already be upon us. Let's look at James. James chapter 5. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let the prayer warriors arise. All right, we're going to look at James chapter 5 and start at the 13th verse. And the word of God says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This was a man. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. God hearkened to the voice of a man because he was a righteous man. He was a man in right standing with God. And then when he prayed again, it rained again. Glory be to God. So there's power in prayer. There's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it shall be done unto you. So it's time for the prayer warriors to arise. Rise and shine, for thy light is come. Glory be to God. It's praying time. You know, we have an upcoming election. This election that's coming up, I'm telling you something. This nation is at a crossroads. It's at a crossroads. Glory be to God. We're in the valley of decision. Now, I don't tell anyone how to vote. That's between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something. You better pray you better pray and you better make sure you hear from God. Yeah, election 2024 is going to be a very, very important election. And you had better vote Jesus. That's all I got to say. What do you mean by vote Jesus? Vote righteously. Vote for the righteous person. You better pray and ask God. He'll show you. He will show you what to do. Let's look at Jeremiah 6 and chapter 16. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 6 and chapter 16. God is talking. He's talking to his people. Hallelujah. And we got to wake up. For thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. See, God says, I've already made a way out of no way. I've already got the path. It's already laid out. All you got to do is walk in. It's called the highway of holiness. And the people say, we don't want to walk that way. Isaiah 35 says, verses 8 and 9, and a highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now, what the Lord is saying is we got to ask. We got to ask him for the right path. We got to pray and ask God. We don't know what to do on our own, but we have to pray. For the word of the Lord says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You know, so many people are saying, I'm going to vote for this one. I'm going to vote for that. You better make sure you are hearing from God. This nation, if we would simply return unto the Lord, that's the issue right there. Hosea 6, verses 1 through 3. Let me turn there very quickly. It says, come, let us return unto the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the answer right there. But is that what we want to do as a nation? No, we'd rather do something else. This is what it says. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he shall raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. If this nation wants to survive and thrive again as a nation, we don't have but one choice, and that is to repent and return unto the Lord. The land is defiled. We have modern-day idols. What do these, you know, back in the biblical days in the Old Testament, they had idols, but these idols were statues that they built or they carried around. Every man had his own god in his pocket, so to speak. They carried these idols around. But today's idols don't look like the idols of the Old Testament. Many of these idols today think it was an idol. So I'm going to name a few of them. We have the cell phone. We have the TV. Text is an idol. fame is an idol. Money is an idol. This selfism in itself, just worship of self, is an idol. Influence. You know, the buzzword today is so-and-so is an influencer. Have you ever asked yourself who is influencing the influencer? You know, are they getting their information from God? Are they hearing from God? Why are people following these people when it is clear that they're not hearing from God? Anytime people just using all this profanity and talking all this ungodly talk, I don't care if they are called an influencer, you should not allow them to influence you. And then the other buzzword was life coach. All of a sudden, people started becoming life coaches, basically women. I didn't see men doing these things, but basically women became life coaches, and they were charging people money to coach them in their life. You don't even know if these people are witches or warlocks. You don't even know if they worship Satan. You don't even know what these people practice or what they believe, but yet you want to pay them money to be your life coach. I have a life coach. My life coach is the Bible. The Word of God is what is counseling me and what is governing me. The Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord. Glory be to God. If you want to know how to achieve success, ask God. He'll tell you. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Everything you need to know about life. David always inquired of the Lord. He didn't make decisions on his own. And that's why David was a blessed and successful king, because he always inquired of the Lord. In other words, God, should I do this? God, should I go here? God, should I fight or attack this bunch? Or God, what do I? There were times God said go, and there were times God said don't go. Because God said in some occasions he was going to do it himself. Glory be to God. Because God wanted to get the glory. So we have to learn how to be still, how to pray, and how to wait on God. Don't make a move. You know, in the Old Testament, they did not move until the cloud moved. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And whenever that cloud didn't move, that's when they pitched their tent. That's when they set up camp. And when it moved, that's when they moved. You see, the Spirit of the Lord will lead, teach, and guide us into all truth. But so many times we don't ask God because we feel like we already know the answer, and it's really the answer that we want. And so we make moves without him, and then when it turns out to be a big failure, then we want to know, God, how could you let this happen? God said, I gave you a choice. I gave you free will. So we have to learn how to seek the Lord. And that's what I'm telling you about this crossroad. You know, if you've ever seen a crossroad, it's a place where you come to. It's like a fork in the road, and you have to make a decision in life. You have to decide which way you're going to go. Nobody can stay at the crossroad. You can't stay there. There's not enough room. You can't pitch your tent at the crossroad. You either got to go to the left or you got to go to the right. But you need wisdom. So you need to ask God, which way shall I go? God told Joshua, I'm going to read it for you. He told Joshua what to do. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. I want to read the verse before it. He said, be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. God basically told him, just go. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and another they will not follow. Follow the voice of the Lord. But in order to hear the voice of the Lord, you got to inquire after God. You got to ask God, which way should I go? Don't assume that you know the way, because we've never been this way before. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way. It's through Jesus Christ. So don't assume that you know the way. Because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. So at this crossroad, we have decisions. We got to make a decision. Am I going to follow God with my whole heart? Am I going to serve the Lord? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, we just entered into this new calendar year, and because of the newness of it, there's a whole lot of excitement. But when that newness wears off, we got to seek the Lord for what to do and which way to go. Now, we're at this crossroad. I'm telling you, America's at a crossroad, and we have to choose the right way. And because we have departed from the faith, we have to ask God, which way should I go? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. This is what it says. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein, go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. When you're at a crossroad, you need direction. This nation is at a crossroad. We can either continue on the path that we are on, and this path will lead to destruction. Or we can seek the Lord and ask him for wisdom, and he can show us the way. Not a way, but the way. Glory be to God. We have been given free will by God, so that means we have a choice. Choose whom you will serve. God told Joshua, don't look to the left nor to the right. We have to go straight. The crossroad is where you as a person must decide. See, you got to make a decision for your family. You got to decide for your house. As for me and my house, you have to make your decision. Glory be to God. So the crossroad is where we decide. We must make a decision. You can't stay at the crossroad. You have to make a decision at this junction. And either we as a nation are going to fully submit ourselves to God and consecrate ourselves unto him, or we will continue in the same old manner. And we will drift along until we drift away. The old folks used to sing a song, there's a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this away. And if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, you will surely drift away. And that's what's happening now. So many churches are just drifting. So many pastors are just drifting. So many families are just drifting. So many ministries are just drifting. No sense of direction. You don't know where you're headed. Some people are headed over a precipice. There's a cliff, and you can't even see that when you get to the end, you're just going to drop off. But if you ask the Lord, Holy Spirit will lead, teach, and guide you into all truth. There's a great falling away. People are dropping out of the body of Christ. People are dropping out of the way. You know, the apostasy was prophesied in the scripture, the great falling away. So you got to decide, am I going with the crowd, or am I going to serve the Lord? Because the Bible talks about these two roads. It says that this one road, it leads to destruction. It's broad, and it leads to destruction. And then there's a narrow way, and it leads to eternal life. And there are few that find it. Very few that find it. There are millions of people on this broad road. They are partying. They are having a good time. They got their money. They got cars and houses and land. But their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they're headed to destruction. They got all that their hearts desire right here on earth. They're having the time of their life. They're living large, living in mansions, got jet airplanes, flying from coast to coast. They're vacationing over here. They got it going on. And it looks like they're living a life. But where are these people going to end up? And I'm going to tell you something. Hell does not have a back door. Hell does not. The Bible said there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So we have to look at where we're headed and say to ourselves, is this the place that I want to go? The masses are on the broad road. They're just like in the days of Noah. They are marrying and giving in marriage. They are having party after party after party. But the scripture says that they knew not when the flood came suddenly and took them all away. Now, you say, well, how was this flood suddenly when Noah told them why he was building the ark for 120 years? You know why it was suddenly upon them? Because they would not listen. They would not listen. They said, Noah, what you doing? He said, building an ark. They said, for what? He said, God said it's going to rain. They would not listen. And we have people like that today. They will not listen. They will not hear the word of the Lord. They say, we don't want to hear that. You cramping my style. We don't want to hear that. And they have become reprobate. Their minds have been seared with a hot iron. And some people know that they are on the wrong path. They know this was not what they were made for. They know they were not brought up like this. But you got caught up in this mess. And you trying to find a way out. Just take the nearest exit and make your way back to the house of God. Get on your knees and say, Father, I have sinned against you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son or daughter. I repent now in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me. Clean me up and give me another chance. God is a God of great grace and mercy. He will hear your cry. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise. But don't be so proud that you can't cry out to God and you end up in hell all because of your pride. You got to decide, which way do I go? Am I going to go deeper by coming closer to God, or will I stay in the shallows near the shore? You know, you got a lot of church folk. They just go to church. They in the shallows. Some of them saved. They in the shallows. They staying close to the shore. They won't launch out into the deep. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? And that means no conditions. So you can't bargain with God. You can't set no conditions with God. You can't say, well, I'll go with you if you do this. No. You don't have anything. You don't have anything of value to try to make a deal, or let's make a deal with God. You can't play let's make a deal with God. This is not let's make a deal. So you have to decide. Come out from among them and be ye separate. You're hanging around people that you know are not God-fearing people. But you say, these are my friends. This is my family. Jesus said, who is my family? Those that do the will of my Father. You better come out from among them while there's still time. Or are you going to continue compromising when you know the things that you're doing and the people that you're doing them with? You know these things are not godly and God is not pleased. Will you continue compromising until the enemy comes and takes you away altogether? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you compromising, when you back and forth, vacillating between good and evil, between God and the devil, don't you know the devil will get tired of you? Yeah, the devil don't like no two-timers. One minute you're serving the Lord and one minute you're back with the devil. He'll take you out because he said they're not faithful. They're not faithful. Not faithful to God, not faithful to the devil. The devil will take you out. The scripture tells us, I would that thou were hot or cold. He said, but if you be lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. You don't want God to spit you out of his mouth because he will do it in the same manner that we spit lukewarm water out. You know, everybody like a good cold drink of water. Sometimes we want it hot. We want some hot tea or some hot cocoa. But nobody likes lukewarm water. It's nasty, and you immediately spit it out. And that's how God said he will spit you out of his mouth. I'm telling you, America's in trouble, and we're at the crossroads, and we have got to decide. And the only way you can make the right decision is through prayer, crossroads. We must decide to abide in God's word. And in his holy presence, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. We need to abide in God's presence by living in the secret place, seeking God's face. Every day you ought to be asking God for wisdom and guidance and direction. Yeah, you might have an education, but you still need wisdom and guidance and direction. He said in Psalm 119, he said, let thy word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's Psalm 119, verse 105. The light will illuminate our way. We've never been this way before. You haven't done this before. You haven't lived here before. I don't care how many times they tell a lie about reincarnation. We haven't been here before. So we need God to lead us and guide us and direct us. We need Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. You came through the water, through the natural birth. Now you need the spiritual birth, the rebirth. Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? Can I go back in my mother's womb a second time? He was thinking with that natural mind. And Jesus said, no, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Spirit of God living inside of you to show you the way. Glory be to God. Or are you going to continue trying to go alone and go and do this on your own? I'm going to tell you something. You can't even breathe without the Lord. It is his breath in our lungs. The scripture says that when God created man, there was no life in him until God breathed into him and man became a living soul. We can't even breathe without him. Our nation, the body of Christ, is at a crossroad. We are in trouble. America is in trouble. And we must pray and seek the face of God for direction asking God, where do we go from here? The wrong choice could be fatal. It could determine your destiny. So you need the right choice. We need to make the right choice. We must seek the Lord while we still have a chance. Before you make a move, get on your knees and repent. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Scripture tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And that's what's missing today. That's why people are doing the most ungodly things that have ever been done, is because they no longer fear God. And that makes no sense whatsoever, because you fear man who's able to destroy the body, but you don't fear God, the soul, and the body. The fear of the Lord is why people are doing these horrendous things today. Nobody's afraid of God. And this is why America is in trouble, because of the absence of the fear of God. I'm talking about the reverential fear of God. That's what's missing. That's why all this foolishness is going on in the church today. That's why men are with men and women are with women, because they don't fear God. That's why there's so much violence and corruption in the earth today. Because the people no longer fear God. That's why the pastors can get in the pulpit and prophesy to the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, when God said, I have not spoken to them, because they don't fear the Lord. And that is why our nation is in trouble. America is at a crossroads, and we are in trouble, because the fear of the Lord is missing. The children don't even fear their parents anymore. I worked with two little boys last night, and one of them bucked up at me. He kept saying, I don't care. I don't care. I asked him, young man, are you talking to me that way? Are you talking to me that way? He didn't care. This is how he talks to his mother. The children don't fear. They do not respect authority. They're not afraid. They don't care. These are the perilous times that 2 Timothy spoke about. So we've got to get on our knees. We've got to do some soul searching in this country. Because America is in trouble. And if we don't do the right thing, I'm telling you, it's not going to be good. There's only one thing that we can do. And the recipe for this turnaround is found in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. This is God's promise. And God is a God of covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. The reason God doesn't lie is because he can't lie. It is impossible for God to lie. I want to close with this tonight. America, there's still time. still time and we still have a chance. And I pray that everybody who listened to this message tonight, under the sound of my voice, I pray that you would fall on your knees right where you are. You might say, Evangelist, I haven't done anything. I haven't done what you talked about tonight. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's Romans 6 and 23. And the second scripture was Romans 3 and 23. So we've got to repent. Repent for your church. Repent for this nation. Repent. Many of you know that you have secret sins, things that you don't want nobody to know about. Confess it to God tonight. Ask God to take those things from you. Just lay it down. Lay it down at his feet. He said in his word in 1 John 1 and 9, I'm going to read this to you because it is the word of God. Hallelujah. 1 John 1 and 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May God bless you on tonight. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor, your hostess from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. You can find us on the web at www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. You can call us 336-830-0601. You can email us at jet245@msn.com. If you have been blessed by tonight's message and would like to sow a seed, do so through Zelle or PayPal. The ID is jet245@msn.com. May God bless you. May God bless you all. And let me close with this scripture. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. God bless you all, and good night.